the days go by. Yes, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. Yes, love is richer, the truth. We sing that because it's the truth. That's not just a secular song that's been sung for years and years and years by quartet after quartet, but we sing that because it is the truth. It does get sweeter as the days go by. And the older you get, the sweeter it gets. Young people, I'm just going to tell you what's setting in for you. The older you get, the sweeter it gets. Serving this Lord Jesus Christ, believing this great end time message, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. How about you tonight? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you believe it with all your heart. Well, it gets sweeter as the days go by.
The longer I know Him, the better I can show Him. I wouldn't stop now if I tried.
Lord, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Yes, it gets sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is richer, deeper, fuller and sweeter.
Well, it gets sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by.
Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them it's the truth. It's the truth. It gets sweeter every day. Is that right? It gets sweeter every day, don't it, brother? Amen. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit more of that, brother, if you will. Sing that second verse for me, Brother Harry, when we get ready to sing here in a minute.
moment He saved me. His good grace He gave me. His place is up down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing to Him I am going, and nevermore from Him to depart.
Because it gets sweeter as the days go by. The Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. We've got several things we need to let you know about tonight. Brother Joel Moyer sends this in, an update for Sister Rachel. She came through her surgery well. The doctors are doing lab work, and there's a possibility of anemia. So they're asking that we would just continue to remember her in prayer, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Brother Gary wants us to remember Sister Lona tonight in prayer. An awful lot of pain with her neck and her back, so let's remember that tonight. Brother Wayne was telling me that Sister Linda Phillips is at home, resting comfortably at home. So somebody say, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for that tonight. I believe he said they're going to be scheduling a gallbladder surgery for her in the next little while. So we just commit her to the Lord, ask God to bless the Phillips family. I want to pray for Neyland Caraway, running a very high fever, very sick. Let's remember that child tonight as we pray. Sister Michelle Swafford says to remember her father, Gary Manuel. Pray for the cancer to leave his body. And also, he's bleeding. Let's pray that would stop. So we'll just commit these things to the Lord tonight. I want to pray for a brother and sister Smith from North Carolina and their son who lives with them. They all have very serious health problems. And their son also has obsessive compulsive disorder. Also, their well has gone dry and they have no water supply. So we just pray that the Lord would be mindful of that family and supply the needs tonight. I want to pray for Sister Estep, having pain in her knees, suffering from vertigo. So let's remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of her situation tonight. Brother Jackie Tipton says to please pray for Sister Sherry. Isn't feeling well, unable to be in the service tonight. Let's remember her. Brother Tony McGraw says to please pray for Braxton tonight. Not feeling well, running a fever. So let's remember that need. I want to pray for Brother Lance and little sister Emma Parker. Both have strep tonight. So let's remember those prayer requests tonight. That family. Sister Carol Reagan sends this in on behalf of her sister Sharon. She started her third round of chemo treatments today. Her PET scan was clear, and she has a new oncologist. She appreciates all of your prayers, and she knows that it is the prayers of the saints of the Lord that have brought her through. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight as we pray that God would be mindful of her. This is from Sister Martha Ann. I want to turn this in for Sister Anna Altland's brother, Wesley. He's still in critical condition from falling through his garage roof during the recent South Carolina storms. The family is at his bedside at the facility. Please pray for Wesley and for his family. This is very stressful and overwhelming for all that family. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. A very serious unspoken need for a situation with a Happy Valley High School student. The Lord knows all about the need. We'll commit it to the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brother Matt Carter, having extreme pain in his back. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. Also, our grandson, Bryson Henley, has been real sick. We'll appreciate if you'd remember him as we pray tonight and just commit him unto the Lord. A couple of announcements we'll make while we're having you still be seated tonight. Brother Michael wanted you to know that all the shoeboxes are available after service tonight. They're available over in the library, so, or actually in the fellowship hall. So if you'd care to go by and get one of those, the shoeboxes are there for you. We want to welcome to the service tonight Sister Patsy Gladfelter. want to welcome her to this service. She has moved here to be a part of this assembly. Where would you be? Right here? Would you raise your hand? Give her a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad to have you with us. Praise the Lord. So glad to have all of you here tonight. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Always good to come to church. No matter what state of mind you're in, come to church. It's a good place to get better. You believe that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request by the raising of your hand tonight, let's stand if you will. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Brother Charlie, would you come tonight? Pray over these prayer requests. Brother Charlie Therese recently celebrated birthday number 93 and just as fervent in the Lord as he can be. And I appreciate that, don't you? Brother Charlie, God bless you. Give him a nice hand tonight if you will.
Let me give you a little testimony. I said it to Brother. The reason why I said this is because of a personal reason. The devil is a liar. Do you know that? If we have the faith to be healed, and I have that faith, he heals me, he'll heal you. There's no doubt about it. Just believe it. Let's pray. Precious Lord, as we come before you, Father, you heard the needs, the necessity for people to get healed, my brothers and sisters, Lord. Your word cannot fail. That's my testimony, Father. Your word cannot fail because the word is you. And if your word said by your stripes we were healed, it has to come to pass. I believe that, Lord. For all these needs that were requested, for all this healing that had to take place, Father, I claim them because your word cannot fail. And if your word says by your stripes we were healed, that word has to come to pass, Father. We pray, Father, for all these needs. We lay them before you to take care of, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless us now with your precious word. Give us more understanding and revelation of your word. Anoint the lips of your servant, that it be you speaking to us and not him, Lord. In your wonderful name we ask it, and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Charlie. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Aaron Vaughn has moved back to Tennessee, and we're so thankful for that, Brother Aaron. God bless you. Give him a nice hand tonight. Love you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. He didn't throw the clay away. I'm so glad that he didn't. He could have thrown me away a million times and felt good in doing it every time, but I'm so glad that he didn't. I'm so glad that he keeps working on me. Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let me mention this tonight. Sister Lois Yance, her father passed away, and they're going to be having this service. You might have saw it in the newspaper. They're having his service, I believe, tomorrow evening, and we certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Lois and her family. She's here in the service tonight, her and Brother Lindell and the family, and well, we just continue to pray that the Lord would, Sister Lois, just wrap his arms around you and hold you real good during this time. We've got a loving Savior, don't we? Amen. Aren't you glad he loves you? Amen. Aren't you glad he loves you? Amen. Let's sing that song tonight. He didn't throw the clay away.
Empty and broken, I came back to him. A vessel unworthy, so scarred by sin, but he did not despair. He started over again.
Hallelujah. Sing it, children.
I'm blessed today. He didn't throw the clay away.
Oh, let's sing about it now.
Yeah. stumble.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let you be seated tonight. Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, if you'd come. Brother Baker and the Bluegrass Band, they have a song for you tonight. All of you come onto the platform at this time. Be getting ready to sing. And if we've got time, Sister Tamika will give us a song. We'll just see how time goes. Take these requests just in the order that we've received them tonight. Sister Anna, Sister Cindy, if you come onto the platform. Be getting ready to sing, and all the Bluegrass Band, if y'all come on up here and be getting ready. Let's sing that little chorus one more time as they get ready to sing for you tonight. Yes, now over and over, He holds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay.
I've heard it as a shout of praise, three little words sung with joy from someone so amazed. But every now and then I hear it as a broken word of faith, spoken with a whisper as tears are wiped away. And it stills my breath to hear them say, God is good. God is good. When life doesn't go like we wish it would, He will always be what He's always. Though fear is what they feel, they testify to a faith that's settled and it's real. 'Cause when calm turns into chaos, peace is stronger than the pain. Knowing they are held by a God who doesn't change, but this simple truth still remains. God is good. God is good. When life doesn't go
and these guys get ready to sing for you. We'll go right on into the service.
speckled bird.
Appreciate the songs tonight. Sister Tamika, if it's all right with you, we'll get you this weekend. Let's go right on into the service tonight. Let's stand, if you will. Somebody said that Brother Jeff Snodgrass is in the service with us tonight. Is that right? I wish I'd have known it. Brother Jeff, where are you at? Raise your hand. God bless you. Give this brother a good hand tonight. Brother Jeff, God bless you. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Jeff and his family. They mean a lot to us, and we love him, don't we? Amen. Let's sing a little chorus as Brother Donna gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight. I feel like traveling on. Bless that old, old-timey song. But how many of you really feel like it's time to move on, isn't it? Somebody say, praise the Lord. No turning back, no giving up, no quitting, no backsliding, no even not even thinking about it. We're traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. I feel that blessing. Oh, I see. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel.
God bless you. Let's turn together tonight to the book of Numbers, chapter 24, if you would. Let's read verses 1 through 6. Numbers, chapter 24. Happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. Now notice where the Spirit of God goes. It doesn't go in him, but it goes on him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of the lime aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Fathers, we approach you tonight through the channel of prayer. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, that we have the opportunity that we can be together again in the house of God. We're so thankful for prayer, Lord, the means of communication. of which has been given to us as your children, that we can talk to you and communicate to you. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us in this service. We are reading a profound event. A man that was a soothsayer. Yet you chose to go beyond even his human feelings. You chose to anoint this man to pull him into a realm of vision and show him things that would happen over 3,000 years later down the road. Lord Jesus, I pray, we desire tonight not to just be an anointed people, but a people that is filled with your presence. We don't want just an anointing on us that would allow us to pray for the sick or just to do great works, but we want to live a life that responds to the Word of God. Father, I have in my hand this handkerchief tonight. Lord Jesus, you see the need of our sister, the needs that's in her body. Lord, I know she desires to be made well where she can come to church. I pray, Father, as I preach with it tonight, may your anointing come upon it. Lord Jesus, would you bring deliverance? Open our hearts to your word tonight, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let me reiterate it to you again. This is a part of God's way of moving. As I said last Wednesday night, that I can't say that I fully comprehend. But I know there's been several times that the scripture tells us down through the ages that God has chosen to use people whose character was not of the uppermost. People whose character was not that which was reflecting to God or even the people that was walking in the light of the age. And Balaam is one of those type of characters. God is actually going to turn what Satan intended to be a cursing, and God is going to turn it into a prophetic blessing that will last for many, many years. As a matter of fact, Balaam is allowed to say things prophetically that Moses has not even said yet. He's allowed to say and see things which Abraham, Isaac, nor Jacob was allowed to see. And when God chooses to do something, you know, it proves to us that by His omnipotence and His power, that if He chooses to do it, there ain't nobody going to stop Him. Now, Balaam is made in such a way that he does have this element of supernatural gift, that his eyes can be wide open and he can fall into a trance while his eyes are wide open. He has this deposit of God by which he had the ability to be able to see these things. Now, the man himself, and it shows you how the gifts will actually work. The man himself did not even want to say these things. It was repulsive to his own nature to say it. But with this deposit that God gave him, being gifted by God, God could bypass his own human reasoning. God could bypass his own human understanding. His own choice, if you will, God could bypass that and anoint that gift and make that gift to speak things that the man didn't even want to say. The man did not believe it. Now, I repeat it to you again. If God could do that to a soothsayer, how much more could God do it to a genuine prophet of God? That's why that the gifts of God and when the Spirit of God would move upon a prophet, and when thus saith the Lord comes out of his mouth, it is absolutely infallible. Now, if every word that a prophet said was this way, then every word that come out of his mouth is without question infallible. But God is the one who chooses when that infallible power will begin to utter and display its characteristics. And if God wanted it to be thus, to where that whenever a prophet opens his mouth, basically every time he opens his mouth, it was infallible, then it'd be perfectly that way. But that is by God's choice alone. That is not the prophet's choice. It is not your choice or my choice, but that is God's choice. Now, when God is now moving upon Balaam, as we come up to prophecy 3, the utterance of God is going to become more profound than the first two were. Now, this is the third time that he's offering the sacrifices, that he's praying to God, but he's approaching it a little bit different. Balaam has now seen that God is not going to let him curse it. So, the other two times, he was actually mixing in enchantment with prayer. Now, it's profound how that God would even listen to a man like this, that God would even choose to even hear the man at all. So he makes up his mind in this third time that he's not going to mix enchantment along with seeking God. So this time, he's going to seek God completely alone. Now, whenever this does, actually something changes in the way the supernatural part of God begins to move on him. And the Spirit of God actually comes upon him in a greater way, and the words come in a more profound way. Somehow, he's learned how to submit himself more. Now, as he does, he begins to utter things as prophets do, and they are in parabolic form or in symbol form, and you have to listen at them very, very carefully. And even their understanding and the interpretation of what is said many times can be so misunderstood. And you see why that the prophet himself, when he would say it under inspiration, he wouldn't even know himself what it even meant. Then if you would have asked the prophet, you know, maybe got out from under it an hour later, 2 hours later, but what do you think, Jeremiah? What do you think this means? Or what do you think this might mean, Isaiah? And no doubt they would have said, well, I don't know, it could mean this or it could mean that. You ever notice in reading that in the prophetic utterances of the Old Testament prophets, is God does not give us that insight into their lives of their personal perspective of what it would have been. If you would have been able to read that, you would have found exactly the same continuity that we find in the life of Brother Branham. For the first time, we're able to see a prophet that goes under that realm and utter these great things, and then we watch him as he repeats these visions over and over again and thinking, well, it could have been a building, or it could have been a tent, or it might mean this, or it might mean that. I'm going to try this, and I'm going to see if it works that way. You see, we don't have that occurrence in the life of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi, but no doubt if we could have, we would saw the exact same thing in the lives of those people. You're talking about a blessed people that we are. That God allows us to see the human side of the prophet that was never quite seen before. And that very thing is what stumbles all these people that ain't elect. And yet you look right at the same thing they look at, and you're just marching right on. They're just falling all over themselves. You're really blessed, friends. I'm telling you, you're really blessed. Now, let's resume this in verse 6. He says, as the valleys are they spread forth. Now watch, he's going to, as prophets would do, that prophets would look at present, and then they would look at the near future, and then they would look at the distant future, and then many times they would look at the way off future, and yet they would utter it as if though it was just linked, and it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But yet, he would see now, watch what he's going to do, he's going to break into the current time frame of the vision, as the valleys are they spread forth as gardens by the river's side. Now watch him, as the valleys are they spread forth. Now look where he's looking at these people, and he's looking as they are setting in their tents, they're setting by order. They're setting under four symbols of God. They're setting there under four tribal banners. Every one of them is exact order. Oh my. And yet when he goes to looking, he sees them not only naturally, but he sees them spiritually. And when he looks, his eyes are open and he's in a trance. Now, no doubt he's able to peer down through the natural realm. And as he looks down through there, he sees Israel spread everywhere. Remember the camp. There were so many people in this camp. It was 12 miles that way and 12 miles that way. 12 times 12, 144. Now this is the way they're setting out. Now no doubt as his eyes begin to look before he enters into the realm of the fourth dimension. And then his eyes somehow are changed and he goes into the realm of trance. So the last human impression that he sees is these people setting down and they're working all in and out and around the valleys of where he's looking down from the mountain on them. And then God takes up the translation of the vision and God begins to run the spiritual parallel, and he says it this way, as the valleys are they spread forth. So the valleys were long and the valleys were broad. Now watch it. He's breaking into the realm of trance or vision. And he says, as the valleys are long and broad, and they're setting there like a garden. Now you imagine now this Moab and a lot of these countries, they're arid, they're semi-arid, they're very, very dry. Hardly get any rain, couple of rains a year. And yet he's seeing them them in their spiritual position. And he's seeing them not just as a dry oasis, but he's seeing them as gardens, he said, by the riverside. So they're laid out in a delightful manner, which is the way these people would camp. They would not do the way we do today. They'd go out and say, well, I want to live over here. Well, all you have to do is go down and pay a water tap at the Elizabethan City, or you go down to Johnson City 1, pay your water tap. You don't worry about drilling a well. You don't worry about none of that stuff. You just go out and pay a water tap, and they come down, pipe it right into your house. But in these days, their civilizations and their cities and their societies were built around a water supply. But you know what's amazing is about these people is they've got a current water supply going with them everywhere they go in the form of a rock. So, they didn't have to pay no water tap. It followed them right along as long as they walked in harmony with God. And here he looks at them and he sees that they're so blessed. But remember, because they're going to a natural land, a lot of their blessings is going to be the dew from heaven. It's going to be the grapes. It's going to be the wine. It's going to be the fruits. So a lot of their blessings are the natural things. Now he says, these gardens, he said, I look and I'm seeing them. And they're spread out through the valleys. And they're this way and they're that way. They're east and west and north and south. And it's like they've been aligned out through there by the rivers and the gardens. And he says that as the trees of lime aloes, which are, notice, the Lord has planted. They are not planted and raised by man. You didn't go over to Evergreen or some nursery somewhere and man set them out and man line them up and man plant them. But notice what Balaam is now saying. These people are planted by the Lord. It was not picked by man, watered by man, set up by man, chose by man. Well, let me tell you one thing, and just you just hold it in your heart. You was not picked by man, set out by man, chose by man, watered by man, elected by man. The same God that chose them chose you. And you are chosen, set out by a river. Hallelujah. That's why in this dry, desolate time, in a dry, barren land, we are not starving to death. We are not thirsting to death, brother, sister. And we're not just eating leftover sandwiches either, but we have got a 7-course meal sitting at the table of the King, provided by God Himself. Glory. Hallelujah. What's the Lord that planted, not the art of the industry of man. And man wanted to do this or that. Here is Balaam. Now Balak is standing there, the king. And he's hired this man to come and prophesy evil against this people. From the time he opens his mouth, he starts blessing them. He starts telling them how good they were and how great they were. And God don't even see sin among them. And Balak is now getting madder than a hornet. Oh my, it's the cedar trees beside the waters. My, my. Oh, look in verse 7. He shall pour the water out of his buckets. He shall pour the water out of his buckets. Now this is God. Now you imagine that Balaam prophetically likens the clouds and the great thunderheads to God's buckets of water. So here he's saying, you know what? Everywhere I look, these people are blessed. Everywhere I look, they've got rain, they've got food, they've got crops, they've got children, they've got wives, they've got peace, they've got hope, they've got joy, they've got understanding. Everywhere I look, these people are blessed. And he said God loves them so much that God just busies himself packing buckets of water around their encampment. Hallelujah. You talking about personal attention from Almighty God. That when you and I get dry and you and I get thirsty, that the Lord God himself come packing a big bucket of water to dump all over you. Oh, hallelujah. He shall pour the water. He shall pour the water out of his buckets. And his seed shall be in many waters. Now how would you like this if you're hiring this guy to curse these people and you're standing there while he blesses them? The seed and the offspring shall be in many waters. They're not going to sit out here on this dry barren. You imagine all the rest of these people struggle for years to barely live and survive. How are they going to be any different? They've got the rider and the water and the rock with them. This is the promise of God. Notice, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag. Now this is absolutely phenomenal since Agag hasn't been born yet. Remember, Agag was the one who lived in the time of Samuel. Agag was the one who lived in the time of Saul. And here this false prophet, this soothsayer, is calling the name of an individual that's not going to be born for hundreds of years. Why? He couldn't help it. It wasn't his intelligence. It wasn't his smarts. It was the inspiration of Almighty God. Lord, children, if God can do this to a false one, what about us children that love Him? Oh, my. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Where is Balaam getting this? Where is Balaam getting this insight that Israel has a king? They have no king. They have no kingdom. Only in an invisible realm. How can this man know that their king is among them? He just read in a few verses up here last week that the shout of the king is among them. How does he know about this? Oh, praise God. God brought him forth out of Egypt. Notice this, not Moses, not Aaron, not Joshua, God. Who's doing this talking? God. God's using the mouth of this soothsayer. Well, praise the Lord. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a rhinoceros. So you want to get in his way, do you? I know this English says unicorn. There is no such a thing as a unicorn. It's a rhinoceros. The unicorn is a fictitious animal that looks sort of like a zebra and sort of like a horse, except he's got a long bumper sticking out this way. There is no such thing that exists. And you look at the Hebrew word, it's not like that anyway. It's the rhinoceros. Now look how Balaam is projecting these people to Balak. Now to Balak, very aware of the animals that are around this country. And you imagine when he hears this symbolism. A wasp, a bumblebee, a butterfly, some other kind of symbolism. Don't say rhino, please. Don't say rhinoceros. Notice he says, he has, as it were, notice prophetic terms. He has, as it were, as it were, as it were. Watch a prophet use symbols that's not saying it's exactly this, but as it were. Some of these poor ignoramuses are trying to take Brother Random and try to say, and they ain't got enough sense to even know prophetic talk to know as it were means as it were. As it were means as it were. He's not saying that they are a unicorn or a rhinoceros, but as it were. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations. Oh, my goodness. His enemies. The seven nations of Canaan. He will destroy them. And shall break their bones. Oh my goodness. And pierce them through with his arrows. Now what's the prophetic symbolism again? He types him to an animal. And then he types him to an animal eating them. An animal breaking their bones and then shooting them with arrows. You see how prophetic language can be. Oh my. Verse 9. He couched. He lay down as a lion. Look at him now. He couched. He lay down as a lion. As a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Now, each one of these animals has a representation of power, because an animal in the Bible is a symbol of power. So as he prophetically looks and he sees in this stage of his attribute, and he sees the rhinoceros pushing, and the rhinoceros. Now, you can imagine you're a cowboy. And you've lassoed doggies, and you've lassoed Holsteins, and you've lassoed Black Angus, and then you go out there and you think, I'm going to go over to Africa, and I'm going to be a cowboy, and I'm going to lasso a rhinoceros. What do you want to wear for your funeral? What is your favorite scripture and your favorite song? Praise the Lord. You are not going to lasso a rhinoceros. You might get it on there, but I hope I'm not around when you do it. Because that old boy, that thing will be like a thread around his neck. He'll charge and keep right on going as if though you're not even behind him being drugged to pieces. And this is what Balaam sees him. He sees him in the vision. And he sees this brawny, big muscle thing. Anybody that even knows anything about a rhino when you can hunt them? They're one of the most difficult things to even kill. Because their plates on their shoulders and the plates on their hindquarters. And the plates are so heavy and so hard to kill. And he's looking at him. Then he looks at him and says, he's a lion. If I'd have been Balak, I'd have went to the house. Of course, I got more sense than Balak had. I got enough sense to know when I'm whooped. Who shall stir him up? Goodness. Who dare do it? Now watch him. Blessed is he that blesseth thee. Where did he hear these words? These are the very words Isaac said to Jacob. Where did he hear these words? In Genesis 27:29. And repeats it. The same words hundreds of years before. Amen. That Isaac says to Jacob. He never knew them words. He didn't have to know them. He knew. He said them once. He can say them again. Amen. He said them once. He never forgets his words. So yes, you imagine what a phenomenal thing this is. This man is repeating words which had been said hundreds of years before. It wasn't like that he read them and committed them to memory. Blessed is he that blesseth thee. And cursed is he that curseth thee. And notice now in verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies. And behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. He took all he could take. I'm getting sick of this bride stuff. The bride this, the bride that, the bride's going in the rapture and she's the only one. And the bride's there. They think they're so special. We know we are. We're not special because we made ourselves special. We're special because he chose us to be special. He couldn't bear it no longer. His patience has run out. His tolerance has run out. And he smote his hands together. Now, this was, of course, found this in history, an expressive implication of his indignation, vexation, and disappointment. The smiting of the hands together among the Eastern people is an indication of the most violent rage. But now he is violent. And Balaam is just coming out of the fourth dimension. Balaam's just now getting where he can see again. His eyes it must have been a strange world for a prophet because his same eyes, he looks right out through there and all of a sudden he peers past those windows and he peers past the sheetrock and his eyes just go straight out into the other world and he sees 1,000 years down the road. He sees 500 years down the road or 2,000 years that we'll find here with 3,000 years and he sees right down the road and he's standing right there looking at it and he's rubbing his eyes and he's looking right at it. He can't deny it.
is there, and he's only saying what he's seeing. He don't believe what he's saying. He don't even want it to be what he's saying. But God so took him over, hallelujah, God so took him over that he can't say nothing else. Oh, notice in verse 11, therefore now flee thou to thy place. Get on back home. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. I was going to do it. Now, I was going to sign you up, Social Security, a nice place to live. That old donkey's got 175,000 miles on it that you're riding around. You was going to have Obamacare, Medicare, every other kind of care, all these things. Now the Lord has kept you out of it. You know what? He'll try to tell you the same thing. If you wasn't a Christian, if you didn't live for the Lord, if it wasn't for the Lord, dear, let him say what he wants to. The Lord may have kept me out of a lot of fame and a lot of fortune, but the Lord's also going to keep me out of hell. And the Lord, oh, hallelujah, and the Lord's going to keep me out of tribulation. Come on, saints. That thing only works one-sided to a real child of God. Well, the Lord's kept you from so much fun, and the Lord's kept you from doing this and other. That ain't all he's kept me from. He kept me from a blind, wretched state of Laodicea, and he opened my eyes and gave me some Malachi 4 eyesight, and I was able to rub that coon grease in my eyes and realize God sent a message in the last days. Look what I was going to do. I just want you to think about it now. You missed an opportunity of a lifetime. You could have been on TBN, 700 Club, 800 Club, 900 Club, whatever. Now you fix it. The Lord has ruined it for you. Praise God. You ever have the devil to tell you that? Boy, I have. The Lord's fixed it for you, boy. You could have done this, you could have done that and the other. You could have been a whole lot better off. I honestly don't see how I could have been any better off than I am right now. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm serving God. I'm preaching to a bunch of people who want to hear the truth. Got friends all over the world. Got enemies too, but I got a whole lot more friends. I think I got enemies. I know kind of if I put them all here and there together, I know I got a whole lot more. And yet I think, Lord, have mercy. How much better could it be? Well, what more could I want? Oh, your brother Donnie, yeah, but if you just ease up, you'd have this and another. And what? Go to hell? Be lost? Wind up in the tribulation period? That ain't better than the rapture. I'll take my road with the Lord's despised few. Oh, my. Now watch Balaam. Balaam said unto Balak, speak not I also to thy messengers, or thou sendest unto me, saying that Balak would give me this house full of silver and gold. I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own mind. But the Lord, what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Now this sounds all really good. And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. Now watch the fourth culmination of this vision. No altars. No sacrifices. This one is a freebie. Brother, what a freebie it is. Old Balak had had enough. He didn't want no more after three. But God said, wait a minute, Balak. Four is the number of earthly deliverance. You ain't stopping me at three. I got one more I'm going to say. It's going to blow you away. You didn't like number three. Just hang tight till number four comes forth. Notice he's not going out to seek God. He's not going offering another ram, another bullock. He's not doing any of that at all. But watch, here he comes. He said, I'm fixing to tell you what these people's going to do to your people. What this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. Now you know in 2 Samuel chapter 8 verse 2, This started, of course, in the book of Joshua, because the Bible says they killed the soothsayer Balaam. But in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 200, the administration of King David, they started all-out war against the Moabites. But it didn't stop there. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High. El Elyon. This name was revealed only to Abraham. Now watch what he says about himself. He heard the words of God and he knew the knowledge of the Most High. Balaam mentions three names of God. God, which is El, the powerful one. The Most High, El Elyon, the uplifted one. And the Almighty, Shaddai, the abundant one. Now watch, Balaam did not know this on his own, but God had inspired the man, and now the man breaks into a knowledge of the person of God. And the person of God is revealed in connection with his people. Hallelujah. It is not revealed, hallelujah, in connection with Balak or with Balaam. But these three powerful redemptive names of God are identified with who? Them people that he hates. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 17, I shall see him. Not Israel. God, but not now. Couldn't be talking about Israel because he's looking right at him. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star. Hallelujah. There shall come a star out of Jacob. You say, Brother Donnie, why would God do that? Who do you remember in the Bible in Isaiah 7 when God foretold through the lips of Isaiah that a virgin shall conceive? Do you remember who that message was sent to? Ahaz. A rebellious king. Amen. God showed Nebuchadnezzar the four monarchies that would live down through time. And now God is using this man Balaam to speak things about the Messiah that Moses hadn't even said yet. Oh, brother, sister, when it pleases him to move, who's going to stop him? That's what I told you last week. If God wanted to, these people that's leaving the message, they could get up and get their video camera ready, their video clothes on. Well, today, I'm going to make another video against this message. And if God wanted to, he could let the Spirit of God fall on them when they get in front of the camera. Thus saith the Lord. William Branham was a prophet of God. Thus saith the Lord. What he said was the truth. But instead of God doing that, God give me the honor to do it. God give you brothers the honor. God give you sisters the honor. Hallelujah. God give you and I, Brother Larry, the honor to stand up and say, this message is from God. Hallelujah. I don't want no Balaam prophesying in my place to you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Prophetically, this is Jesus. A false prophet? Did not KFS said, are you all ignorant? He said, don't you know that one man should die instead of the whole nation die? The scripture said the reason he'd done that was because he was high priest that year. He prophesied. Christ, the star of stars, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And Christ appearing on the earth in the form of starhood come from the lips of a soothsayer.
But if God could put human words in a donkey's mouth. And Balaam beating on that donkey, turned around and said, what in the world are you doing to me? Ain't I been your donkey all these years? Yeah, you've been my donkey. And here he goes carrying on a conversation with that. If God could put human words in a donkey's mouth, God could put God words in a two-legged donkey. Right? God put human words, for however long that lasted, human words in that donkey's mouth. And God opened up that donkey's brain, where that donkey's brain could hear them words and process and carry on a short conversation. Then God can move upon a soothsayer or whoever more and give him God's words. Did the human words make the donkey a human? No more than God's words and a false prophet made him a god. But what makes the difference with you and I? We are connected by birth. We're not just connected, but what comes in our mouth and out of our mouth, in our life and out of our life. We are connected by a new birth. Hallelujah. You know, stars are wonderful. We want to look at four symbols by which stars are represented. Stars identify rank. Stars also identify stability, guidance, and influence. For those of you that have been in the military, and those of you that haven't, you know it as well, that whenever you come to a general and different officers in the military, they are identified by what? Stars. So you got a 3-star general, you know, whatever more than each star. So the star, glory, the star identifies rank. Hallelujah. Now, why was it Balaam didn't see him in the form of a son? Now, he is the son. But why would God show Balaam, the Lord Jesus, in the rank of a star? I'll answer it for you later. I'll let you ponder it now. Now what? So the stars are a significance of rank. They also signify stability. Oh my. You realize on a clear night, you look up at them stars and it's the same ones Adam saw when he was there in the Garden of Eden. Lord have mercy. It's the same ones that little David got out there of a night by the gym with his sheep. And he'd get a little harp out there and go to having a Holy Ghost spell. And David looking around said, how great you are, Lord. It was the very same star. He saw him from a different position because being in Palestine. But it's the very same star. The men that was out on the sea before they had the GPS and this and that and the other, they were able by the stars, glory to God, to be able to drive, fly, go about and do what they did because the stars are so stable. They are there. Why? The Lord God put them there. When man fell in the beginning, it was the earth only that fell. The stars never fell. Lord have mercy. It was only the earth that fell. The stars never fell. Your gene of God, that attribute of God, it's still identified in heavenly places. It was only the earth. The earth that fell. Not the heavens. So Abraham, standing out there one night, and the Lord said, look up at them stars. He said, yeah, it's beautiful, sir. He said, count them if you can. He said, I can't count that far. 100 octillion in the visible universe that they found thus far. That's 29 zeros. In case you're wondering. Jacob looked up there and said, that's us. David looked up there and said, that's us. Solomon looked up there. Joshua looked up there. Why? They were stable. Get your eyes off the earth. The earth is not stable.
The earth get hit by meteors and the sun and this and that and the other. And the earth, look at our earth now, how she's tilting around on her axis and going into the fall solstice and then the winter solstice. Look how she'll change and go through the winter. The beautiful leaves that we've enjoyed all summer, where are many of them? Thousands of them laying on the ground. Why? Because the earth is going through a change. But do the stars go through that change? They're spoken word. They are put there. They are stable. If your soul tonight's got the Holy Ghost, your soul is stable. It don't get up and then down and then in and then out. Your star, I mean your soul, is stable. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? Your star, your soul is the whole thing. Your entire solar system is supposed to rotate around. Your body will fluctuate. Your spirit will fluctuate. But your star stays the same. It's sealed into eternity. Amen. It never fell when Adam fell. So the stars signify rank, signify stability. And influence. The stars have an influence. You see, God, before the Bible was written, God wanted to talk to one of his servants one day, Job. So God started quoting stardust. God started quoting about Pleiades and Orion and the seven sisters and all that. Why? That was the Bible that Job read. Arcturus and all the different constellations that God quoted from. Why? The Bible wasn't written down. Well, I mean, it wasn't written down up there. It was written down up there. And it's still up there. As a matter of fact, can you look down through there and you can look down, see through the belt of Orion and see those nebulas there where those new stars are being born at and still expanding on through those gases of helium and all that that's going on. Job stood right there and looked at it. Oh my. If you can only imagine the life that you see coming from that belt of Orion, the Roman Empire was still existence on the earth. It is so far away from us. In the World's Fair in 1898, whenever they wanted to show a great display, and they captured through a microscope, and they brought out through a wireless type of thing, and put it on a scope, and they sent it down to a little switch, and the man stood there and flipped the switch, and the light by which powered that sign when they turned it on came from one of the distant planets. Oh, my! And it left hundreds and hundreds of years ago. If you could only understand it, Lord, have mercy. The eternity is so big in the universe that the stars are like they were when the Lord Jesus was crucified. And it takes that light that long to get here. We may be getting it slow, but Malachi 4:5 has arrived. It was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, but it's finally hitting the earth, and the switch is on. I said the switch is on, and it's illuminated the elect. And it come from the heavens thousands of years ago in the mind of God. I was watching a video the other night on the universe. And this scientist was talking about by the year 2050 that there won't be no human beings on the earth. That our sun one day will just burn up. And it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it'll become a glowing red star, and it'll explode and cease to exist. I told Carol, I'm so glad we know the truth about all that. Oh my. Aren't you glad? To me, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that nonsense than it does in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. 2050. Oh my, but 2077 and 20 something. By then, we'll done be in eternity. By then, we won't even keep time no more. Hallelujah. Oh my. And yet I realize when you go to talk about the influence of the stars and people say, oh, astrology and all that, that is nothing but a trick of the devil to get people's focus off of the real purpose of them stars being there. God must love stars. He made octillions of them. Some of them are blue. Some of them are yellow. Some of them are white. Some of them are red. Yes, Hallelujah. And they influence our lives. Well, you say, oh, that random, you're John Doe. You're born under a certain sign, a certain star. That has something to do with you. Question and answer is 1964. That has something to do with you. So the stars have an influence. The stars have an influence. So when I get down, when I get weary, when I get upset, if I can just come over under the influence of the stars, glory to God, all of a sudden I can feel uplifted. You know what I'm talking about? Why? Because my earthly realm might get down and get sick and get depleted of spiritual strength. But if I can realize before I was on the earth, I was amongst the stars. Before I was ever a human being, a part of me was identified in eternity, and the stars never fail. Amen! I said the stars never fail. Oh my. Stars give guidance. Now, if you ever get out in the woods and you get lost, and if you can look around, and if you'll put your fingers together like this around a tree, and you go turning around that tree this way, you'll find the thickest part of the bark that'll be facing the north. That's in case you can't see the evening star, which is Venus, which is the same as the morning star. But if you can find the morning star, the evening star, then you'll know exactly the direction you're going. So the sailors out on the sea, whenever they're tossed about and looking around, they're trying to find where we are. The boat's going this way. Then this doctrine come up and shook us over this way. This doctrine come over here and, oh my, took part of the people and left us like this and that and the other. If the clouds can break away and we can look up in the evening time and find the evening star, we'll know exactly where we are. I ain't looking for the church myself. I ain't looking for the World Council of Churches. I got my eyes on the stars. The church will move. The church will fluctuate. The economy will be up and down. Oh, Brother Donnie, if we can get a Republican in the White House, we've only traded off one liar for another. We're only trading off one hypocrite for another. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. Brother, we don't need to keep our eyes on the White House. We need to keep our eyes on the Heavenly House. And we need to be guided by the star. Don't let the church guide you. Don't let mama guide you. Don't let daddy guide you. Let the star of Jacob guide you. And he will guide you through his scepter to the throne of God. Why would God allow Jesus to be compared to a star? Since the stars have no light on their own. A star reflects borrowed light. Remember, Joseph saw his brothers in the book of Genesis in a dream. He saw his brothers as stars, right? His father is the sun, and his mother, of course, is the moon. And his brothers were reflecting stars, which was borrowed light. So our moon has no light of her own, but she reflects the light borrowed from the sun. Now, why then would God allow the Lord Jesus to be identified also in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 16? And he had in his right hand seven church age messengers, seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun. Now watch. As the sun shineth in his strength. Now you know when John sees him, he sees him with stars in his hand, but as the sun shining in his strength. But he himself is still a star. Why? The need of the church ages dictate the characteristic that he reveals himself in. Your need on the earth, Lord have mercy, we're in the darkness. So if we're in the darkness of Laodicea and we can't see the sun, does that mean we're without light? We've still got the evening star. So he reveals himself in the form of a star, and we are waiting for the star to fully envelop into the kingdom age, which will be the sunlight. The sun isn't shining yet in its full strength, but it's revealing himself through what? Your presence on the earth in the church ages. And he chose to condescend. You imagine he would condescend to that place to be a star among his church age messengers. Oh, Lord. Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. The star gives light without dissipating the darkness. When the Lord Jesus came on the earth, he did not come with a scepter in his hand. He was the star. So the star would be able to break darkness on Peter's heart, John's heart, and the woman at the well. A few people here and there and there. But it wasn't like that he came as the full sun, which would totally annihilate all darkness. It was only here and there and there and hallelujah. Why, this is the condescension of his coming. Lord, children, can't you see why he is under such anticipation, waiting to reveal himself, and we can see him as he truly is. When the church ages run out, and we believe in time they have, and when you and I move out of this element of time, it will no longer be just the morning star, but we will see the sun arise. No wonder Brother Brim said, it is the rising of the sun. What does he do? He comes and he shines light here and shines light there. But does his presence totally drive away all darkness? It does not. As a matter of fact, it's getting darker and darker and darker. Amen. Which is the total opposite effect if the sun was here himself in fullness. So here we are paired up with two stars in the end time. The Lord Jesus and Elijah. So here the star, he glistens and he shines. And we look at him and, oh my, he means everything to us. Oh, he's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. Emanates from us and he just illuminates our heart. It so illuminates our heart. But does he dispel all darkness and end all sickness and all trouble? No. No. Because he's still a star. John said in Revelation 22:16, I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Now, wait a minute, Jesus, I thought you was the sun. Why the morning star? The morning star is the last to disappear. The morning star is the last to disappear before the culmination of the fullness of the sunshine. Glory be to God. Can't you see? He himself, his personal presence on the earth, will usher in you to the rapture. And you're going away. What's he coming to do? He's coming to gather the rest of the stars. Amen. He's coming to gather the rest of the stars out of this midnight. Then what? It will be a shalom. A good morning. Amen. A good morning. He has not been crowned King of Kings yet. Can you imagine Balaam as he's there in that dimension? And he actually sees that star arise. And he says, there shall come a star out of Jacob. And he saw actually as the star ascended up out of Jacob. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So Balaam's prophecy as Christ being the star and having the scepter is twofold. He prophesies from his first advent 2,000 years ago, plumb up to the millennium. Can you imagine covering a span of over 3,000 Let me find a place to close. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Psalms 45:6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Hebrews 1:8. Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And let me close with this. But this hour has not yet fully arrived. Now he is our king. Right? We're in an invisible kingdom. But this earth is not under the reign of King Jesus yet. But his presence is here, but how but a skip? In the form of a star. So you better be careful making fun of stars and lights and all that whirling down in the end time. You might be laughing at Jesus. You see, we'll be here in our souls, full sunshine. But looking around in time, sickness, pain, sorrow, suffering. What is it? Starlight. Starlight. Don't you love him? Let me close with this. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Smite the corners of Moab from one end to the other, and destroy the children of Sheth. The Hebrew word Sheth means tumult. So the children of tumult. Jeremiah 48:42, and Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. They that fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of the force. But a fire shall come forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sihon, and shall devour the corners of Moab and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones, the children of Sheth. You see where troublemakers be? You see, we're gossipers, liars, and folks who cause splits in churches and splits in families and all that sort of thing. You see where they're going to wind up? They're going to be destroyed. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's give Balaam the word test. Let's take one passage from Deuteronomy. And Moses said, how shall we know if a man is a prophet of God? And they said, well, this is the way you'll know. If what the man says comes to pass, then fear him. But is that the only scripture we can apply to Balaam? If it is, then that means Balaam was a prophet of God. But you see, we not only watch Balaam's prophecy, but we watch Balaam's doctrine. Now God had such control over his mouth, he could not even speak error in prophecy. But when the anointing left him, after this fourth vision comes to an end, then Balaam sees it and he says, come here, Balak. I can't do it as long as the Spirit's on me. He won't let me. But I'm going to tell you how you can do it. So it was his teaching. The prophecy was perfect. Faultless. Without error. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to have a big world council of churches. I want you to call them all together. I want you to dress up your women. Strip them off. Paint them up. Tell them to put on the sexiest stuff they got. And then send out invitations to the children of Israel. God won't let me curse them with prophecy. But I've seen his way clear enough to know
if I can somehow, you and I together, can get them off the word to pull away from the headship of that prophet that they've got among them, it'll force God's own hand against them. I guarantee you one thing, that devil knows the same thing will work against us. There ain't enough devils in hell to destroy us. There ain't enough false prophets. There ain't enough negative videos on YouTube. But if we let it get among us, we'll destroy ourselves from within. May God help us. You and I, me the pastor, you the sheep, deacons, trustees, song leader, musicians, all of that. We have more ability to destroy our church than every denomination out here. Because you know how it always works in the book of Acts. When the outside come against the true church, it drove them closer together. And they rose up in greater power. But the most deceptive part is to come in from among themselves. Well, I don't want this. And I don't want that. I wish so and so would. I wish he wouldn't. I tell him to complain and fuss and argue and grumbling. And we go to deteriorating from within. Oh my. Let's be like trees that the Lord set out. Let's dig our roots down. As David said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. Planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Praise God. Oh, children, don't you appreciate the condescension of our Lord Jesus as a star right among us? Jesus, still in his work of condescension through the church ages, he shines through starlight. He does not dissipate all the darkness of Laodicea as he did not during the dark ages. So what did he do when he wanted to start the move of the Reformation? A little bit of borrowed light struck a star over in Germany by the name of Martin Luther. And that little bit of light shined on that star. And there was Jesus and Luther. Glory. Jesus was among his people. Oh, hallelujah. The same thing in England. The same thing in America. When God wanted to send that seventh star. But soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. No more starlight. Glory to God. And when he arises, my friends, he will totally obliterate all darkness. In the time of the millennium, Satan will not be allowed to reign on this earth with us. There will be no death. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? It will not be starlight in the millennium. It will be the light of the Son of David. This is why our days can seem like they're so dark at times. We're still under that dispensation. I'm so glad though he chose to condescend in this day. But before long, it'll all be sunlight. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you tonight, Lord. I find it so amazing. It must have been a very peculiar thing for the children of Israel that they would hold on to this prophecy of Balaam and the star would arise out of Jacob. You never quite said it this way through any of the true prophets. You dropped little hints and things, but yet you chose to turn what Satan and Balak thought into a curse. You chose to speak words out of that man's mouth. I pray this would be enlightening to some of us here tonight who's been through different ministries. Some of them used to sit under women preachers or Maybe some of the people here sat under Trinitarians. And maybe you even anointed them people to say things for the sake of the elect. Hallelujah. It didn't mean the people that were saying it was right at all. You was doing it for the elect's sake. You were speaking your words and building the body of Christ out of prophetic utterance. Out of the mouth of a man that didn't even believe it. He wished he wasn't even saying it. Praise God. Lord Jesus, if you could do that, Lord, what about us if we can surrender ourselves? Lord, we may not prophesy like Balaam did, but Father, we know there's one thing we can do. We can live right. And Balaam couldn't do it. It wasn't in him to stay true to the word. Lord, I would rather have that a godly life than if I could stand and speak on certain day. They'll elect certain man to be president. And certain man will be vice president. On a certain day, this will happen and that happen. And then me live a life that's contrary to the word. I'd rather have the ability to live a godly life. Then if a prophecy comes, so be it. But my choice, Lord, would rather to be a Christian. To be Christ-like. Forget the discernment. Forget the prophecy. Forget tongues. Oh, that's wonderful. But Lord, let me have a life that so reflects you. Praise God. How many wants that with all your heart? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight. Oh, Star of Jacob. We thank you that you have shined across our path. Thank you, Lord, when you found me down there that day in Kentucky, Lord, and you began to illuminate me. Lord, how grateful I am that you had another star in this day. Praise God. That star of the Laodicean church age. You shine through him the word of this hour that was needful to get us out of this world in a rapture. We know he did not come to take glory from you. He pointed us to you. And he told us he was not the one to be worshipped. He was not the one to be adored. But you were the one to be worshipped and adored. He told us he was not infallible, but he told us you were. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How we long for that hour, Father, when starlight will disappear. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we know, Lord, the morning star being the last one. And it will be your face that we see when that sweep comes over the bride across the earth. And we go to sing our loved ones. And I know it won't be long that we'll be changed. And then we're getting together with the rest of the group. And we come up missing on the earth. Glory. Then, Lord, we know it won't be long. We'll start taking our flight. And we'll meet you. Then our starlight will be gone. And we will see him whom we have loved. I've heard your voice. I've felt your presence. As these people here have, Lord. But oh, how I long to see you face to face, Lord Jesus. There'll be no veil between me and you. There'll be no veil between any of us and you. But we'll see those precious eyes, those precious hands. Glory be to God. Starlight will give away to sunlight. Then king and queen will walk down streets of gold. Hallelujah. And we will crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just worship him just a bit before we go? Oh, don't you love him, children, with all your heart? Don't you appreciate his kindness to you? I know the world is dark, and I know sometimes it can seem his presence is so far away, and you wonder why he's not shining on you the way you want. The dispensation won't allow him to. It's still calling for starlight. But the sunlight has arose in your soul because it's already into eternity. But in time, we're still under the dispensation of starlight. That's why even sometimes seeking for the will of God, it can be sporadic. And we pray and ask him, Lord, help me to know what to do. Help me to know this, Lord. And it seems like you get flickers of it and rays of it. Then the other times you don't know exactly. What is it? Starlight. Oh my. But one day that which has brought been clear view in your soul, Don't you understand what's going to happen? The sun's going to rise on your body and it'll force it to be changed. Hallelujah. This is why the prophet could preach his message and call it, "It is the rising of the sun." It has already rose on your soul. Good morning to you, children. It is shalom in your soul. But in our bodies, in our spirits, in time, we're still under starlight. But it ain't going to be long. Praise God. The morning star will fade right into the very presence and the essence of the sun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. We worship you. Hey, let's sing together. How great thou art. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Now we're singing about how powerful and how almighty is. Do you believe it tonight? Our brother found a growth under his arm. He went to the doctor, and when he went to the doctor, they told him it was cancer. Different places through his body. Liver, different glands, things so on in his body. As far as what they look at it, they say there's not really much they can do. But we're talking about a mighty God. Upon the moon and the stars and the worlds without end. Amen. I heard the prophet say it the other day, we come to this earth by the will of God and we leave the same way. Amen. I don't always understand why children of God leave in certain ways they do, but we leave the same way. But if it ain't the will of God and the time for my brother to go, there ain't enough cancer, devils, and hell to take him. Let's pray together for him tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see the report from the doctors. But yet, Lord Jesus, he wanted to come to church and be prayed for. Lord, they're doing the very best I'm sure that they know to do. No doubt they hated to tell him this. But yet, Father, we're looking to another promise in your word. General orders is for us to lay hands on the sick. Lord, until we know that it's your will to take a brother or sister, then we're going to continue to do this. Then if you show us later on down, 6 months down the road, well, it's my will, then we'll pray differently. But until that, we're obeying general orders. Father, we want to join our faith together tonight on behalf of our brother. Lord God, you see this cancer in his body. But Lord, this is only a term that doctors have given it. We know it's a devil. But Heavenly Father, I join my faith of my brother, his wife, his family. Lord God, the saints of God tonight, the different people that are streamed the service. Lord Jesus, no doubt most of our families have been touched by this demon of cancer. So Lord, we want to join together tonight and call on the name of the mighty God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we call for the Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in His wings. I find it so amazing that whenever you got ready to reveal yourself in the attribute of healing, that you never chose to reveal yourself in starlight, but you chose to reveal yourself as the Son of Righteousness with healing, which means the full power of the resurrection of healing is among the bride today. Lord Jesus, we know You're a healer tonight. I pray for my brother, Lord. As Brother David was just telling us before church, Lord, in his trip to India, just being their father and a woman there brought a prayer cloth to be prayed for her husband. Lord, they give him up to die. Didn't think he'd live. She took that prayer cloth to the hospital and laid hands on him. The man got up and walked out of the hospital. Hallelujah! Because You're the mighty God. You're the everlasting Father, and there's nothing that can hinder You, Lord. Touch Him, I pray, Lord. Hallelujah! 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 Oh, let's worship Him tonight, saints. Oh, He might be revealing Himself in starlight to the dispensation, but may the sun arise right here tonight. Hallelujah! May it not just be peaked glares of starlight, but may the sun so rise upon our souls that we're able to catch a view of Him, that He's the mighty God. The mighty God, and nothing can stop Him. You are like trees that are aligned along the river of predestinated, unmerited grace. And there is nothing that can uproot you. The storms of life, the hurricanes, the tornadoes of life will never blow you down. Your names are engraved on the palms of His hands. He loved you before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together. Then sings my soul, my Savior.
Sings my soul, my
And the saints said,
amen.
Brother David, would you come and dismiss us? Brother David's been gone to India, had some wonderful services there. We're so thankful the Lord brought him back home safe. He just got back in last night and always wore out, but so appreciate him being back with us, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah.
Hey, let's bow our hearts if you would. Lord, you are so wonderful. I'm so grateful, Lord. I serve a God like you. Lord, as I've seen so many people, Lord, in the last couple of weeks, worshiping gods of stone, gods of clay, animal gods. I'm so glad that I can serve a God that speaks to us. God that can pick us up when we're down, encourage us when we're discouraged, heal us when we're sick. Lord, you are a mighty God and there is none other but you tonight, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for what you've done, Lord. Oh God, how you move among your people, Lord, as you drop down into this place tonight, Lord. You come and you've spoken to every heart. You've reminded us once again, Lord, how great you are. Lord, we just claim, Lord, for our brother that has come tonight, Lord. I want to thank you right now. Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, for we count it as a finished work of Calvary. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, may this word be more than just something that we hear. May it be more than just another service. But I pray, God, that you would awaken something within us, that every person in this building would know how privileged we are to be able to come and hear the true word of God tonight. Father, we are so thankful tonight, Lord. Oh, Father, how I love you. Help us, Lord, to fall deeper in love with you than we ever have in our lives, Lord God. Lord, may everything be severed from us, Lord. Anything that would keep us from drawing closer to you, I pray, God, cut it away from us, Lord. For we know, Lord God, Lord, what has happened in our souls is going to come into reality one day. Lord, and Lord, we know that when the sun is shining, Lord, the stars are still there, but the sun is so bright you can't see them. Father, I pray, may we look within the eyes, Lord, of the great day star. Lord, may every light of the world, Lord, all the darkness, Lord, may it flee, I pray. Grant it, Lord, tonight, I ask in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to go. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. Amen. God bless you. Certainly appreciate you praying for us while we're gone. We've seen hundreds come to the altar. We had a prayer line over 1,000. We baptized over 100. And it ain't because David Siler's there. It's because the day star showed up. Will I? Yes, I'm going to be ready. Yes, I'm going to be ready. Oh, I said that I'm going to be ready. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm going to be ready. I don't know how long I'll be here. Jesus said, I hear.